This morning we're going to look at Exodus chapter 14, and my message this morning is go forward. When you look at this scripture, and I'll give you some background to it after we read it, there's a lot of things that we don't often pick up, but I'm hoping to share some things that God has for you this morning. Exodus chapter 14. 10 through 15. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto Jehovah. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to bring us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we spoke unto thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it was better to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of Jehovah, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen, you shall see them again no more. Jehovah will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Jehovah said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. That they go forward. Now, set this scenario. Here we are. The Jewish people have been slaves of Egypt for quite a while. They were treated as slaves. They had a life of a slave. They were in a nation that didn't believe in their God. And so Moses had been chosen by God to lead them forth from that slavery to the land that God had promised them. God had promised the Jews, he promised Abraham, that he would always look after the seed of Abraham, which was the Jewish faith. And so, you know, you look at all this aspect, and here's Moses, and he feels quite inadequate, you know. Some say that he may have stuttered. Some say that he just didn't speak very well, but he felt quite inadequate, but God called him to lead them forth. So he finally convinced them, which they argued with them quite a while, okay? They said, we don't want to leave. Well, why should we leave? If we leave, they're going to kill us. If we leave, they're going to be really mad because who's going to make their bricks? Who's going to make their mud? Who's going to build their walls? If we leave, oh, we have to go forward. And we're just quite happy right here. And so they started out, and they had got to the river, to the Red Sea. And they had got there, and they were camped out there, and they're looking, they're saying, all right, where are we going now, Moses? And all of a sudden, they look behind them, and they see Pharaoh has had a change of heart, and he's coming after them with all soldiers. And this is the scenario that you see here. And they cry out to God, and they cry out to Moses, and they said, we'd have been better off dying back there where we didn't have any graves. They at least threw us in the ground, but now we're going to die in the wilderness. There'll be nobody there to bury us. And so they were not happy with the situation. You got to understand is that quite often we as humans trust God until the circumstances say different. I'm going to trust God. You know, they trusted God to lead them out, right? They had the faith that Moses told them, and they trusted God, and all of a sudden the circumstances changed a little bit. What happens? We're not going to trust God any longer. And so we as humans, we often fall into that category of when we look at things. You know, David, the Spirit said, one day I'll perish at the hands of Saul. Elijah hid in a cave and said, I want to die. We look at the circumstances of our life, and we try to make decisions based on the circumstances of our life instead of the trusting God to do what he's called us to do. Many things today cause us not to trust. Sometimes we're diagnosed with a disease or something, you know, cancer. You know, we've had several people here in this congregation that have had cancer, and God has healed them, right? But others with cancer, God hasn't healed. But when we are told you have cancer, do we trust in God? Do we say, God, okay, I'm going to do what you have in store for me? So I would be willing to bet there's more than one person here that runs out of money before they run out of month. Isn't that sometimes awful? You ran out of money, but the month's still there. Do we trust God in those circumstances? You know, sometimes when the circumstance takes place that we, you know, comes in our life, the first thing we look at is, you know, how am I going to do that? What am I going to do? This week, you know, our washer is only like 4 or 5 years old and it quit. Okay? And doing a self-diagnosis, now I'm Dr. Water Cleaner or whatever. Doing a self-diagnosis, I determined that, with help from the internet, that it was either the pump was bad or something was clogged because the water wouldn't come out when it spun. So I watched the video and it showed how you change a pump. That's not my thing, okay? Everybody knows me. That's not my thing. I don't like repairing anything. Because typically, it doesn't work out like the video shows you. You know? It just doesn't happen that way. But here I'm faced with, all right, if I call the repairman, he comes out and replaces the pump. You know, you got $60, $70 for the pump, and now it's probably going to take them a couple hours, so they're going to charge you $100 an hour. So I'm looking at $250. And I'm saying, do I really want to spend $250 to get a... Yeah, I might as well go buy another washer. And that's my viewpoint is, anytime I have to spend more money than half of what the thing is valued at, I normally will say I'll get a new thing. But I really didn't want to get a new washer. It's only 4 years old, and it looks like new yet. So I watched the video, and I say, So I called the local appliance store, and I went up, and I said, here's the model. And they said, we got a pump. I went up and got a pump, and I looked at it, and I said, no, this doesn't look like what's on my washer. She said, well, this is the number it's called for. And I said, well, I'm just telling you. She said, well, you know, your washer's old. It may be a little different. I said, my washer's only 4 years old, and it doesn't look like that. So she went back on the internet. I said, I even looked on the internet for the pump, and the ones that they showed me on the internet looked like the one I had. And so she goes back, and she says, well, there has been a number change. She said, but this was supposed to be a one-for-one replacement. I said, well, it's not going to work. Well, then, so she ordered the right one in, and it worked. And you know what? The whole time I'm thinking is, do I really want to do this? You know? All right, I got the pump. Maybe I just get somebody else to do this. One of those circumstances in our life that we look at and we say, I don't want to do this. Happens with God too. You know, he puts circumstances there and we say, I don't want to do this. Well, I followed the video. The video took 2 minutes, okay? I said, well, that's not bad. 2 minutes to change a pump? So I did the first step, and boy, it worked like a charm. It's like, all right. And they said, well, then the second step is you do this, and you disconnect the hoses. You might get a little water. I disconnected the one hose, and I got a flood. My wife wasn't there, and me, of course, I'm doing this on my own. And so the rug got wet, and the linoleum got wet, and everything got wet, and I got wet, and I'm like, what am I going to do? The water's got to come out. You can't take the pump off without the water coming out. So I got a bowl. I put the hose back on, and I got a bowl to take it out, but lo and behold, the bowl didn't take much because most of it had already come out. But I got it changed. But I could have looked at that circumstance and said, God, you know, why do I have to spend $250? I can't afford it right now. No, I did it for $50. Okay? God let it be easy. Okay? I expected it to be hard. God let it be easy. But we look at that and we look at things. How about when we have kids that refuse to listen? Is that ever a challenge? I'll bet some of you were those type of kids. No, never us, right? Refuse to listen. That can be a challenge. How about if we... Oh, Dave, you're going to say, hey, I prepared this for you, but I didn't. How about when we lose our job? Can that be a challenge? Do we worry about it? See, those are all part of life circumstances, and life circumstances have a way of getting our focus off of God and off of our faith in God and onto the circumstance. And that's where these Israelites were. They were looking at the circumstance. They said, we came here, we're by this sea, and we're going to die here in the wilderness because we were stupid and we, you know. And somebody said, oh, well, maybe if we go back, Pharaoh will forgive us and we can go back to being slaves. What did God say to Moses? Go forward. That's easy for you to say, God. You're not facing all that water out there. You're not facing a mountain on each side and turning back and seeing the armies of Pharaoh coming after. You aren't facing that, God. God says, I'm facing that with you. I'm facing that with you. And so we have to understand that this story about going forward is not just a story that applied to the Israelites, but applies to us today. God's saying to us today, there is nothing to go back to. Go forward. There is nothing to go back to. If you go back, you will be destroyed or you will return to slavery. What's our slavery? Slavery to sin. If you go back, you're going to return to slavery or you're going to be destroyed. And so you need to go forward. To the church, he says, go forward. The fields are white. They're ready. There's a whole lot of things. Go forward. To the individual, he says, go forward. Stop worrying about all the little things. Go forward. Is there somebody who would like to raise their hand and say, I never, ever, ever, ever sweat the small stuff? Because I'd like to talk to you and know how you do that. Because that's our human nature, is we sweat the small stuff, don't we? We worry about the little things of life. We worry about the things of the circumstances, not the plan of God. We talked this morning in our Sunday school class, and we talked a little bit about running a marathon. You know, Paul keeps telling us that we're in a race. Run as if to win. Well, what's winning the race? Serving God and doing exactly what God wants to do in every circumstance. And that's where we often fall. So to the individual, he's saying, go forward. Because until you, as an individual, start going forward, guess what? The church is going to be held back. Now see, these Egyptians that were chasing the Israelites, they had a goal, right? They left us. We'll take care of them. We'll kill them all. They had a goal. The Israelites had a goal to get away from the Egyptians. They're all stuck here. And what did God say? Go forward. Go forward. So we as individuals, you know, have to go forward. We are constantly to be moving forward until Jesus comes again. No backwards motion. Not going back. So what's that mean to us? Well, let's look at this scripture. First off, did they have faith to believe that God was going to lead them out of Egypt? That was a question. Yes. Everybody agree? Obviously, they had some faith. Now, let's take a look at that crowd. Here we are. We're up against the sea. What are we doing? Huh? We're panicking. Why? Do we have faith? See, what happens in circumstances of life is fear starts to replace faith. Did you see that in the scripture? Did you see that? And what it said there? It says, when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. Fear replaced faith. When fear replaces faith in our life, we start to have problems. Because when we start focusing on fear, guess what happens? You panic. change direction, right? You want to change your direction. You know, you have this fear and you say, I'm in trouble. And so I want you to understand is if we're walking in faith and we allow life circumstances to affect that, the first thing we start to do is pull in fear. And fear replaces faith. And when fear replaces faith, we are no longer going forward. We are stuck. We are stuck. And then guess what? Anybody ever get stuck in a snowbank? What do you try to do? Go backwards, huh? Because that's the way I went in, so if I go back that way, maybe there's a little bit of a path. So what happens, though, is when we start replacing faith with fear, instead of putting our trust in God, we start listening to Satan and knows that he's driving. And Satan can work through the finest Christians because we can say something and say, well, you know, you're only sick because you're not doing what God wants you to do. You ever heard that? You're sick because you're not doing what God wants you to do. Really? I fall off the ladder because I'm not doing what God wants me to do. I'm going to use that one. Well, see, I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do, so I'm going to fall off the ladder. No. Those are life circumstances, aren't they? We're all impacted. We're all affected by life circumstances. And so when fear starts replacing, we get the fear. We get the fear of sickness, the fear of death, the fear of the money worries, the fear of our kids driving us nuts. Is that supposed to be funny? No, they do. Sorry, Amber. But we're replacing our faith with fear. And so as we are replacing our faith with fear, we're starting to get into that bondage. See, Israelites, were they still in bondage? In their mind, they were. When they saw Pharaoh coming, they're saying, man, here it comes again. We should have just stayed because it had been better. Because some of us are going to die because of this. They were in bondage, weren't they? They were still in bondage. And when their faith changed to fear, the bondage kept a hold of them. So we have to understand that first thing is when we get into life circumstances that we don't understand, don't let fear overrule. Then what happens when fear comes? Well, let's look at the scripture. Oh, wow. Did anybody see anything there? I read it a couple times while I was looking at it. Oh, yeah. Well, see, I wouldn't expect you to pick it out because, see, if you picked it out, then you know that if you're in this state of life, and it's probably because of your fear. They started complaining. Didn't they? Well, it'd been better for us to stay. We told you to leave us alone. Let us go ahead and serve the Egyptians. You know, Moses, you know, you brought us here. Now we're going to die. We don't have any graves. They just started complaining. And see, when faith is pushed down because of fear, the first thing we do is we complain about that life circumstance. And what happens when we complain about life circumstances? Anybody know? We start to blame. Do we blame just God? Sometimes. What else happens? We start to blame one another. Well, you know, our church would really be doing better if that person would do what they're supposed to do. And our praise team would have been better this morning if Rick wouldn't have went to work. Right? I'm sure he would rather have been here too, you know? And my husband might have come to church with me this morning, but he had to work. We look at life circumstances and what we start to do is we start to complain about little things that don't mean a hill of beans. You ever see that in a church? A body of believers? Well, they didn't dress how I thought they should have dressed for church. Look, Dennis is up there, and once again, he doesn't have a tie on. He's preaching to us. The only reason you guys want me to wear a tie when I preach is it might strangle me and cut me short. I wouldn't have as much hair. Right? I mean, what do? We take circumstances, we take these little piddly things that don't really mean anything, and we focus on them and we start complaining about them. Here the Israelites were complaining about to Moses. It says, hey, and Moses says, don't be afraid. You know, stand firm. You'll see what God's going to do. Huh? No, I don't want to do that. I want to complain. It's all God's fault. It's all his fault. If they'd have done this, if this person would have done this, circumstances come within our lives. It's going to make things difficult. But when we fail to look at that aspect of keeping faith in God, we start complaining. You know, many of us have things wrong in our life. Many of us do things wrong in our life. Many of us live incorrectly. Many of us aren't perfect. And so what happens is I kind of focus on these things. When I see things that are, I'm just using this as a metaphor. I'm not saying this is what I do. Okay, so don't take it. When I see things that I don't like in the church, well, if I complain to somebody else, maybe something will happen. Really? No. I go to God. What would have happened? Moses went to God. Said, God, and what did God say? Why are you bothering me with this? Didn't I say, go forward? Didn't I tell you, go forward? Why are you bothering me with this? Moses, why are you crying out to me? I gave you the plan. Here's the plan. Go forward. So Moses has to go back to them and says, hey, God said, go forward. What happens when you don't go forward is you eventually go backwards. We call that backsliding in the spiritual realm. The Israelites were in that mode. They were ready to backslide. They were ready to go back to slavery. They were ready to go back to Egypt. They were ready to go back to what they had known before. And many times in life circumstances today, we backslide into what life was like before. You know? And we forget. Well, this is the changes God made in me. This is what God gave me. This is the blessings. And we start to backslide. Now, what happens within a church when we start to see all this? In a body of believers, in individuals. What happens? Well, first off, you notice something. The guys at the back of the line were impacted by the guys in the front of the line. Right? They were at the sea. They looked at it. They looked at the mountains at the right and left, and they says, we have no place to go. Hey, you guys back there, turn around because we're out of space. People at the back were impacted. All right? The people at the front were being pressed by the people at the back. Because what are the people at the back saying? Get out of our way! Pharaoh's coming! We're going to die! You know who's going to die first? We're at the back! Confusion happens. And turmoil happens. And so God says to Moses, he says, go forward. Moses comes to the people and he says, didn't God say he'd deliver us? Did you believe it when I said it back there? Well, not really. We just decided to follow you anyhow. Did you accept Christ when he offered you his salvation? Or did you just say, you know, God, I want to be saved, but I don't want anything else to do with you. And that does happen. That does happen. I don't know that they get saved, but you start, if you aren't going forward, you eventually are going backwards. And so that's where we happen. And Moses come back and he said, look, God said, move in faith. Move in faith. Here's a point I want you to understand. Faith is not faith if you don't act on it. Do you get that? Faith is not faith if you don't act upon it. Did they have to act? Huh? Did they have to act? What if Moses would have threw up his hands and said, "All right, God, I'm just going to stand here and let you work"? What did he have to do? He had to go, but wait, all that water was in front of him. He got up and he held out his staff. And what did God do? Faith isn't faith till you act upon it, okay? Moses could have said at that point, "All right, I have faith, God, for you to do something." But God said, "Moses, you got to do something too. You got to act on the faith." And so, in going forward, it requires action from each and every one of us that we have to step forward because we have to act. And guess what? See, now I'm done preaching, I'm going to meddle. You're at the front of the line. And you're almost to the front of the line. And you guys, hey, you people, go ahead and get killed. Because by the time they get through you, they're going to be too tired to worry about us. In order for them to be safe, what has to happen? Huh? Yeah, but these guys are all blocking the way. They have to go. They have to start it, don't they? They have to start it. And so, think about this. Moses had to have faith, right? He had to start it. What did he do? He stepped forward, he held out his staff, and what happened? The waters rolled back, and we probably, you know, let's say anybody, you guys that watch the Ten Commandments, you know, and that was pretty dramatized, but think about that. That wall of water. Okay, there literally was a wall of water, wasn't there? Okay? The water just didn't dry up and go away. It parted, and there was a wall of water. Okay? Guess what? You're throwing the line on this side. See, this line kind of, this is full. Okay? So now I got this opening. You go first. Wait a minute. If I go first, what happens if the water collapses on me when I'm halfway through? You better be able to hold your breath and swim. Right? See, Moses had the faith in God and he did action. But see, just because he did the action, did that mean everybody else was safe? No, because these ones in the front, they got to step forward into this wall of water. Oh, all right, now I look out here. I don't know how big it was. Anybody know? Mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles? What was it across the sea? I don't know. But I look out here, and I'm now in this wall of water, and here's the edge of the water. And I look out there, way out there, and there's land on the other side of the sea. Ah, yeah, that's easy travel. I have to do action. I have to step into that. Okay? What would happen to the front of the line if they'd have looked at Moses and said, "You're nuts, I'm still not going"? Would the back of the line go through? No. And so I want you to understand, this is how God has provided the church to work. Okay? It's not the faith of one person. Okay? It's not the faith of a pastor. It's not the faith of an elder. It's not the faith of the church treasurer. It's not the faith of the oldest people in the church. Okay? It's the faith of all of us combined that God is working through. Okay? And so when we start to understand is that as a body of believers, okay? All right? God says go forward. All right? I'm willing to lead you. I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to lead you forward. But you guys look at me and say, "Man, I ain't following him." What happens? What if that person way back there says, "I'm willing to follow him because I have faith in God, and he says, God said, do this"? They aren't going to get to follow me because all the people in front of them aren't willing. So see, you have to understand this, is when we get into this situation of life circumstances, when God says go forward, it's not, well, the pastor go forward, or the board members go forward, or the elders go forward, or it is everybody. Everybody of the household of God in the body of believers must go forward. And that's what God's telling us today is, we are to go forward. We are to move in the direction that God wants us to move. We're to have that faith. We're to understand where God wants us to be. And everybody impacts everybody else. So, if you have a little faith today and you're waddling in life circumstances, you're impacting me and Jeannie and Joe and Lonnie. Georgia, she doesn't. Right? If you're part of this body of believers and you do not have faith that God can work in this body of believers, you are impacting the rest of us. We all impact one another. God says, move forward. Guess what? Here's a promise he tells us. If you trust in me and you have faith, once in a while it's going to work out for your good. If somebody doesn't throw an alarm up for that, they better get into your scripture. What's it say in the scripture? All things work together for good. Not once in a while something's going to turn out good. All things work together for good to them that are called by God. And so when we unite in faith and we look at life circumstances in here, we're without a pastor right now. Is God still working? God's still working. He didn't quit. He's still working. You know, we've used multiple people to preach. Is God still working? You know, God is still working. And so when life circumstances throw the wrench into the motor, and all of a sudden it starts to have a glitch, God's still working. And if we have faith to believe that, we will continue to go forward. And that's what God wants us to do, is go forward. Hey, just think about this. Everything is going to be all right. I cheated. I cheated. I read the end of the Bible. I didn't read all the way through the Bible before I read the end of the Bible. And once I found out how the story ended, then it was time to find out what's all in between. Because how the story ends is what? Everything is going to be all right. Circumstances of our life can't change that. Everything's going to be all right. We lose our job. Everything's going to be all right. God has a plan if we continue to walk in faith. Oh, we get sick and we're diagnosed with a serious illness. Paul says, hey, when you leave this world, guess where you're going to be? Okay? I can bet you, I don't have a whole lot of money, but I could bet you if I was a gambling man that I won't have a hematoma the size of a volleyball in heaven. Right? It's not going to happen. Life circumstances won't impact us in heaven because it's all going to be all right. And that's what I want you to understand. As long as we, as a body of believers, continue to press forward, and that's every single one of us. Okay, every single one of us. Whether you're a member, whether you're not a member, if you're coming to this church, you have to press forward. If you're living in fear today, if you're living in doubt today, if you're living in circumstances today that are pushing you aside from God, put it away and get back to trusting God. Trust God. You trust in God that He is a man of His word and said that I will save you from your sins. You trusted that. If you've accepted Christ, you've trusted that. Trust Him when He says, I will help you in all circumstances. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you that you have told us that when the world does come crashing in around us, and we're looking at all life circumstances, and we just don't understand why it's happening, where we're going, Lord, You said, don't worry, it's going to be all right. Because all things are in my plan and they're going to work together for good to them that love God. Help us to keep our faith strong. Help us to not let the situations of this life distract us and bring in fear and complaining and backsliding. But help us to take the episodes of life that are not exactly where we want it to be and to be able to count it pure joy that you're going to work tomorrow. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And we pray that you would just help us this week to go out and to look at life circumstances differently. And when we start to feel down, when we start to feel discouraged, when we start to feel tired, when we start to feel angry, when we start to feel hurt, fill us with your love. Fill us with your love. That we can keep our faith strong and that we can see that there is a light shining before us, and that light is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Help us to rely on you in every circumstance. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen.